coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta. This is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have been waiting all day today and most of yesterday to tell you this story because it's a fascinating one. Sean, hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. I'll tell you this, and I'll tell listeners this. I took my kids bowling this weekend, and you know, they're 6 and 8, and watching them bowl is an awful lot of fun. It's an awful lot of fun.
Yes.
And bowling alleys, of course, I haven't been in a bowling alley in years, all right? And I took the kids bowling at their request, you know, cold, rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
A great day to go. We got there, and the bowling alley is filled with children.
Wow.
Filled with you. There's birthday parties there. It was a Saturday. There's birthday parties there. There's kids everywhere. Children everywhere, running all over the place, bowling, having a great time. There's loud music playing. My kids bowled 8 games. I was carrying a Smith & Wesson 340 M&P.
Uh-huh.
Okay. With 5 hollow points in it. On my waistband under my shirt. And I was there for probably 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I've been waiting to tell people for the past, I was surrounded by children. And my gun never once did it tap me on the side and say, I have to get out of this holster. Never once did it jump out of the holster.
Really?
Never once did it hurt anybody. Never once did I feel the urge to commit a crime.
What?
I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
Oh. Well,
and there I was at a bowling alley, lawfully carrying my sidearm.
No, Nancy Pelosi and the crew would beg to differ.
I just was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Anyway, I've been wanting to let you know that.
Now, what rig were you wearing?
Oh, I had a Galco side snap scabbard.
That's what I figured. There you go.
Wrapped around a Galco gun belt.
Mm-hmm.
And a beautiful Smith & Wesson 340 M&P, 357, 38, and I had 5 wonderful, get this, is law enforcement only Ranger Talons.
Ooh, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Wow.
But never once did the thing jump out and decide it wanted to hurt anybody. Never once did I get this itch or did I turn into this, you know,
monster.
Zombie killer. Yeah. Right, it was crazy. It just didn't happen. And when I left, I thought, wow, I'm shocked. Welcome to the Armed American Radio Network, folks. You're probably shocked, too. I know I am. 877-956-9566. 877-956-9566. If you want to call the program today and participate, this program, folks, is going to be probably one of the most important shows we've ever aired, Sean.
Yes.
And the reason is because we are taking this very personally. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me mention last week briefly about a case up in New Jersey. Gentleman, young man, by the name of Brian Aitkins. And Sean, you remember Brian Aitkins?
Absolutely.
We talked a little bit about it. In fact, I was a guest on Case Guy down there in Dallas this week, earlier in the
Big
week.
Big Dallas, yeah. You were a guest on the Wells Report.
On the Wells Report with John David.
With John David Wells, and we were talking about this particular case, and it just bothers me.
It is excuse me. It's heartbreaking.
We got a lot of emails about that, too.
Well, let's set this up.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Aitkins moved from Colorado to New Jersey. Mistake number one, folks. The People's Republic of New Jersey, the PRNJ, if you will. Mistake number one. He mm-hmm. left a free state to go to a People's Republic. And New Jersey has some of the strictest gun laws in America. They haven't yet quite got the message like Mayor Daley did. And like Washington, D.C. did. And to make a long story short, he was transporting his firearms lawfully in the trunk of his automobile as the state police instructed him to do when he called to find out how to lawfully transport his firearms. He'd been going through a divorce, having a rough time. His mother was worried about him. She called 911 out of concern for her son, for her son's well-being. She actually hung up the phone call, didn't even make the call, hung up the phone call. 911, the police showed up. They obviously know where the call came from. They showed up, and she got a hold of her son and said, you know, the police are here. They want you to come back. He turned around, went back. Somehow, law enforcement determined that they could search his vehicle.
Mm-mm.
And they found two locked, two handguns.
So they're actually in a locked case.
Locked container in a duffel bag in his trunk, as the state police instructed him to do, and they promptly arrested him. He is now serving a 7-year prison sentence.
That just blows my mind, man.
Well, it's more than blows your mind. It angers me to the point where we're going to try to do whatever we can do here to help this young man and his family. And joining me today on the Armed American Radio Network is Evan Knappen. He'll be here in just a second. Evan Knappen is Brian Aitken's attorney. And Evan and I spoke off air for quite some time earlier this week. And, of course, Brian's case is all over the news.
Yeah.
And we're thrilled to have Evan on the phone with us today to talk about this case in detail. In detail, we're going to get this right from the horse's mouth from the man who argued the case. We're going to talk about the appeal, and it will anger you, folks. I'm telling you right now that this will upset you. It is angering. It is heartbreaking when you learn about what this young man and his family are going through. Some of you may have heard Evan on this talk about this story on NRA News this week, and with Cam Edwards. This has obviously been making the rounds, and we're thrilled to have him here because we're going to do what we can here. We're going to solicit help from the general public, Sean, and we're going to keep this in the forefront because there's now a petition for in front of Governor Christie up there.
Good God. Hopefully. Right. Hopefully.
Well,
he seems to have real strong conservative values, so hopefully we can get this resolved quickly.
Well, you never know what a politician's going to do. Barack Hussein Obama just pardoned 4 cocaine convicted criminals from the 1980s.
You don't say.
Yeah. He just pardoned 9. 4 of them were for cocaine cases from the 80s. Little chump change cases. You have to read them and see what the deal with that is. Also, we might as well just take this into the break, and then we'll come back with Evan, and we'll speak with Evan for the remainder. For a large portion, folks, of the broadcast. But this Assange guy, this WikiLeaks guy.
You know, old boy is just tearing it up, ain't he?
Well, this is Armed American Radio. Patriots listen to this program.
Yes.
Let me tell you what my position on this is. He apparently has made comments now that there is a poison pill out there, that he's got all this encrypted data, that if he gets arrested or the site goes down, that this poison pill is going to release all of these. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I was looking at that a couple of hours ago.
Here's my take on that. Julian Assange, is that his name?
Yes.
Try not to pay too much attention.
Assange
to
or something like that.
Assange, Assange, who cares if we spell his name properly? If I was writing it, I wouldn't capitalize it. He isn't worthy of it. But he's got this poison pill out there. He is now threatening the United States. As far as I'm concerned, he is now a terrorist and an enemy combatant. And he should be treated as such. You know what we do with enemy combatants?
Yes.
Okay? Wanted dead or alive. This guy is now threatening the United States, making terroristic threats.
You know, I go...
He's got issues. Now he's got problems on his hands. Now he's running.
I go one more step with you on that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But
wholeheartedly, you can get that out.
Here's where my problem is. I'm trying to figure out why the government, if they can shut down a website that has stolen purses on it, but they can't seem to shut WikiLeaks down. My question is, what's going on with the government? Why can they not get this stuff? Why can't they keep this from being seen?
That's a whole nother show.
I know. I mean, like I said, I agree with you. But my question is, you know, is our government that inept, or am I missing something? I mean, I hate to say it.
It's probably
a
combination of both, quite frankly. It's probably inept, and we're probably missing something. Quite frankly, it's probably a combination thereof. But, yeah, you know, now this guy has stepped up the game here. He has elevated the game now, okay? Now he's a terrorist. Now he's an enemy combatant, as far as I'm concerned. And he should be afforded all due treatment that enemy combatants against this nation are afforded. Make up your own mind. I'm Mark Walters. We'll be right back on the Armed American Radio Network with Evan Knappen, attorney for Brian Aitkins in New Jersey.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS that you can't afford to pay? Or are you stuck in a tax payment plan that is getting you nowhere? The IRS is now taking very aggressive actions, such as bank levies and wage garnishments. If you owe the IRS at least $15,000, call American Tax Relief. They've helped thousands of people like you eliminate up to 85% of their delinquent taxes. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, American Tax Relief can settle your debts for less than you owe, remove penalties and interest, and protect you from bank levies and garnishments. As a hardworking American, you do have rights. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, you can save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Call right now. 1-800-605-3241. That's 1-800-605-3241.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
North American Arms offers the most popular mini revolvers ever produced. Chambered in 22 short, 22 long rifle, and 22 magnum, the North American Arms mini revolvers are the standard by which all other mini revolvers are judged. These incredibly small and compact revolvers offer 5-shot capacity in your pocket when the chips are down and your life is on the line. The 22 long rifle can also be ordered with a holster grip. For more information on these incredible mini revolvers, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Now you can learn avoidance and awareness the sealed mindset way. In the 15 Seconds to Safety course, you'll learn a whole new world of awareness that you can use to avoid danger, rely upon your instincts to stay safe, and learn how to decide if people and situations might be dangerous to you. Learn how to avoid a situation that may require the use of your gun in the first place. Learn the sealed mindset way at SealedMindset.com. That's SealedMindset.com.
Does the weight of your concealed handgun push down on your belt, causing your belt to droop and your pants to sag? We have the answer. The CCW Comfort Sling supports the weight of your handgun and holster over your shoulder, completely eliminating the weight off your belt, making concealed carry much more comfortable. The CCW Comfort Sling makes any handgun virtually weightless in the holster. Turn your concealed carry weapon into a concealed comfort weapon. Visit CCWComfortSling.com. That's CCWComfortSling.com.
This hour of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, the GOA. The only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Join the Gun Owners of America, folks, at gunowners.org. I did. Welcome back.
Welcome back, indeed. Got a little frog in my throat. I apologize. I'm your host, Mark Walters. This is the Armed American Radio Network. And if you want to participate in the show today, and it's a good one, you probably will. Then again, Sean, whenever we get really, really intense, we generally don't get a lot of calls. People say we like to listen.
Yeah, this is a listening show.
Participate by email, mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, or 877-956-9566. So let's go directly to Evan Knappen. Evan, welcome to the Armed American Radio Network. How are you?
Hey, great. Really glad to be here.
Likewise, my friend. Listen, this is an extremely disturbing case. It's difficult to talk about without literally getting mad.
Oh, I agree.
And I can only imagine where you're from here. So, did I set it up okay in the first segment?
Yeah.
Did I set it up, Evan, okay in the first segment?
Oh, absolutely. Set it up wonderfully. And I want to just add to, so your audience can get a deeper understanding, because, you know, there may be some folks out there, probably not in your audience, but others that, hear about something like this and go, there has to be more to it. It can't be that. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's exactly what it is. It is a travesty, a miscarriage of justice. It is incredible. And the significance of it, first of all, is, of course, we need to help Brian Akin, and we need to get him out of jail. And we're taking those steps and have a petition into the governor to get a sentence commuted, and we're on an appeal. And all that is very true and vital and important. But there's also the other side to it, and that is it highlights the problem, and the answer as to how this could come about has to do with when you're dealing with lousy gun control, really, really bad gun control put forward and vigorously enforced and prosecuted, and all those reasons that can make this a nightmare for your average gun owner.
All right, let's start.
What happened here?
Let's start from the very beginning here. And I know a lot of folks have probably already read this or seen this or watched television, seen news reports of this. Of course, it's making its way with the internet. It's all over the country, and particularly gun owners are outraged. But not just gun owners need to be outraged here. Freedom-loving Americans need to be outraged here. This is about more than guns. This is about freedom and our rights at stake, quite literally Brian's. Now, he moved from Colorado, correct?
Yes.
And this occurred back in 2008, and he moved to New Jersey. He was going through a divorce.
Correct.
And he has a son. He wanted to move from Colorado to New Jersey, as anybody would, to be closer to his son. Unfortunately for him, it happened to be the PRNJ.
Right.
And he, of course, had a couple handguns. He contacted the New Jersey State Police to find out how to transport his guns.
Let me just add that his guns were lawfully acquired in Colorado when he was a resident of Colorado. He did the background check, 4473, everything 100%.
Okay, so he moves into the state. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing. I guess his wife, correct me if I'm wrong here, she had taken away an opportunity for him to see his son. He was a little bit upset about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he made a comment to his mother, and she got a little bit concerned about him.
Right.
Now, he was in the process of moving from their house to where?
Well, what happened was he had a job as well, and opportunity, and then that changed. So he was between his parents' residence, where he was residing, and his place in Hoboken, where he was residing as well, all in the process of moving. So that, and then he was getting his new place.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he has the guns stored in locked containers.
Yeah, they're all cased and unloaded. That's correct.
Inside a duffel bag, inside his trunk.
Right. They're all they're not readily accessible. That's plain. You know, they're not loaded. They're cased, etc. That's all correct. And they were lawfully acquired by him. They were not in use in any way. They weren't, you know, alleged to be being used in any way. This is strictly, merely possession, and that is possession in which a gun is properly secured under the law and unloaded. Okay, so this isn't even a carry situation. This is unloaded, locked up, cased guns while someone's moving.
Okay. I have to, I guess, let me go in this direction here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is proper under New Jersey law.
Right.
He gets his mother calls 911 because he made a comment that upset her. She was a little bit upset, as any mother would be. She was being a mom. And I heard her husband, Brian's father, on Cam, on NRA with you just the other day. And he said, you know, we come from the school where the police are your friends. They're not your enemies. And that if you're concerned and you have a problem, that the police will help you. And
okay.
That wound up not being the case.
They are a little naive about that, I understand.
Well, and he said Mount Laurel Police, though, he talked highly of them. He said
were
fine.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
and
here's
look,
my question.
Know, there's plenty of great cops out there, just like there's plenty of great lawyers, and then there's others that are problems, and that's all. And you know, I'm not blaming the police, because this is pretty typical for New Jersey to want to find guns and seize them, et cetera. The real problem here, when you get right down to it, is the prosecution continuing to prosecute, and then a judge denying the law to the jury. We can get into some good details on that.
And we will. We definitely will. But before we do that, what concerned me is, and I think this is vital to the direction that we're going with this conversation, is the fact that let's kind of just cut right to it. She called the police. I guess she didn't have a conversation with a 911 operator, did she? She hung up. And, of course, they obviously knew where the call came from, so they dispatched officers to the location, which is fine. It's what they're supposed to do. They don't know what's going on. They get there and ask her to contact her son and ask him to turn around and come back.
Right.
And he does. Now, that poses this question. Can you please tell me and educate my listeners where the probable cause is anywhere there for these cops to dig into duffel bags in his trunk?
Okay. Probable cause is what? That's the requirement needed for a warrant, right?
Correct.
It's also based on our other last moral crusade against alcohol when the motor vehicle exception came into play. And if an officer is going to do a search of a motor vehicle without a warrant, then one of those exceptions, as we know, is he needs probable cause.
Right.
All that's true. So where's the probable cause here? Well, there isn't probable cause for the search, because Brian is a law-abiding guy and doesn't think of police in an adversarial way.
Consent.
And consented to the search. So if you consent to the search, then you don't need probable cause. Now, we challenged the validity of the consent. So I want to make that clear. We had a suppression, and we challenged that validity of the consent in proper criminal practice. But look at it from the bigger picture, and that's what you see is a consent to the search.
Okay, now, that is a whole nother show unto
uh-huh.
itself, obviously, Evan, is the consent scenario there, because people have a right to stop a search at any time. They have a right to tell an officer on a consent search where and what can and can't be searched, and the whole nine yards. So a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah, people have a miss. The founding fathers would be rolling over the attitude that unfortunately is ingrained in the average American, which is, if I don't consent to the search, then they're going to
arrest me and put me in jail. Evan, we're going to get ready. We're taking a break right now. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion here on the Armed American Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
With consumers still looking to save money wherever they can, getting the most out of their cars continues to be very important. Jody DeVere, president of Women's Automotive Association International, knows that using quality products in your car today can help save money in the long run.
Motor oil is called the lifeblood of your car's engine and one of the most important ways you can protect your investment. But all motor oils are not the same.
DeVere recommends asking for a high-quality oil by name because Pennzoil and Quaker State, for example, invest heavily in comprehensive product testing and are formulated to meet the demands of today's engines.
Don't leave the oil choice to the person behind the counter, because using a high-quality motor oil in the right grade can help maximize fuel economy, minimize emissions, and help save money by preventing costly engine damage.
For more information about the importance of high-quality motor oil, visit motoroilmatters.org. I'm Ron Javers.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office Mac or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Car Arms and Auto Ordnance. Make sure to check them out, all their fine products, including the world-famous Car PM9 at kahr.com. That's car.com, kahr.com. Check them out.
John, we got to do something about that.
I see you up there laughing.
We have got to do about that.
I saw you laughing before the song even came on.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, you're back on the Armed American Radio Network. Hey, I want to let you know that if you want a signed copy, if you'd like a signed copy of my book, Lessons from Armed America, head over to armedamericanradio.com. Click on that little buy now button up there. Credit cards, PayPal. And a signed copy will go out in time for Christmas. They are shipping same day. We're down to about 25 or 30 of them. So get your order in if you would like a signed copy of my book, Lessons from Armed America, co-written with Kathy Jackson. Let's go back to Evan Knapp. And Evan, welcome back.
Hey, back. All right.
Okay. The meat and potatoes of this thing is what is so disconcerting to me here. He gives consent. You know, we could talk about that all day long. He's a law-abiding citizen, as so many law-abiding citizens. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. I've spoken to the state police. I know I'm doing it. He probably wasn't even thinking about it because he knew he wasn't breaking any laws.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. They search his vehicle, and what happens from there?
Well, they find the firearms. Of course, in New Jersey, it just takes on a whole other dimension. And once guns are found, it's usually arrests are made and sorted out later.
And that's what happened in this case.
I mean, it's just, it's not a gun-friendly place. And if you have guns, then and you're caught with them, then this is going to be dealt with at normally a higher level than the officers who are making the arrest. They're going to make that arrest and let it be dealt with by the prosecutor.
He's undoubtedly shocked at this point. What he finds himself handcuffed, pinned right against the car. His mother must be absolutely beside herself.
Now, you have to remember that the reason this problem exists here, this is like the first pressure point for the perfect storm, and that is that New Jersey's gun laws are exemption-based.
Right.
So you're automatically, you're guilty till you prove yourself innocent for your possession.
All right, let's get deeper into that, because that's going to be very important as we progress through what's going on here. Explain in detail what exemption-based means. What does that mean to the average listener?
Okay, here's something for all of your listeners, no matter where they live. Never let your state's gun laws become exemption-based. And if you have exemption-based gun laws, Brian Akin stands for why you need to fight to change them. And the way exemption-based works is all guns are banned in New Jersey under 2C58-5. Okay, 58-5. That's the licensing. It's 39-5. And under 39-5, it says, I'm paraphrasing, no person shall possess any handgun unless having first obtained a permit to carry same. And by the way, handguns in Jersey include even antique handguns. And you need to have a permit to carry in order to be exempt in the face of the statute. Now, only an elite class of individuals have carry licenses in New Jersey. I mean, New Jersey is basically a shall-not-issue state.
Very well put.
So the only people who have these are some folks that have federal exemption and then apply and still get a license anyway, like law enforcement, et cetera, or retired law enforcement. The other would be some security folks, and then you're either a politician or in the mob, and maybe you got a carry license. That's
right.
Normal average citizens that want to protect themselves are denied because of an abuse of justifiable need. And that is what is abused and used to stop individuals from, essentially getting the carry license. Okay, so since this carry license is impossible for the average citizen to have, how do these average citizens possess handguns? And how did they acquire them? Well, New Jersey has a permit to purchase. And that permit system, to get that, is more vigorous than most carry license systems in the country.
Okay, this is important. This will anger you. Most of you live in a free state, or a somewhat free state.
Right.
Okay? I want you to fathom this. We're talking about America here. We're talking about an American state. This is important. Tell people, Evan, what folks have to go through. I moved to New Jersey, and I want to buy a handgun. What do I have to do?
Okay. Well, what you do is you go down to your local police department. If you don't have a local police, then you're going to go to state police. Now, remember, this is strictly to buy a handgun, not to carry it.
Right.
You're going to get an application that is going to have well over 20 questions on it. More questions than are asked on the 4473. And those questions probe and ask you things like, and I kid you not, have you ever been treated on any in- or outpatient basis for any medical or physical condition at all? I mean,
right.
It's like, what? What? You know, how can I? Of course, what? You know, yeah, what? If you've ever seen a psychiatrist for any reason, you have to write it. Seeing a psychiatrist, not mental health commitment now, just seeing a psychiatrist. Or if you have any physical defect that somehow could impact your possession, you have to write about it. You have to there's juvenile offenses that are disqualifiers in New Jersey. You know, that goes so far beyond anything federal. And then after you fill out the application. You then need to get fingerprinted, of course, and there's references, and your employers get contacted, and this process, which is supposed to take up to 30 days by statute, just about always, figure about 3 months on the average, you know, to get a license, although the state police may try to dispute that, but we know, we've had people call that have waited 2 years for the process. It's just crazy how...
To buy a gun. Just
get your permit to buy the handgun, and then that doesn't include the mental health search form, plus it costs, I think it's $52 or $54 for the fingerprint fee, okay? Then it's another $2 for the permit itself. Then, after you go through this whole process of being vetted and questioned and records, you know, invaded and privacy invaded and all of that, then this permit that's finally issued, and by the way, this is a background check more intense than for law enforcement,
right?
Basically, just to get to buy. Then when you go to the dealer, if you've gone through all that and have your permit, you then pay another $15 for an instant check.
Right.
Like you need that for some reason.
Right.
And do the 4473. And going through all that, that permit is only valid for 90 days and it only lets you buy a gun, buy that handgun. Once you buy it, that's it. It does not allow you to possess. You then possess that handgun in the same way that Brian Akin possessed his handgun.
Right.
And not only that, you possess it by way of the same exemption if you're possessing it in your home. And that's the 2C-39-6E exemption. And that's the very exemption that Brian relied upon. And let me just read this exemption so that everyone will hear straight out. Here's what it says. Exemption.
We have 45 seconds. Go for it.
Nothing shall be construed to prevent a person keeping or carrying about his place of business, residence, premises, or other land owned or possessed by him any firearm or from carrying same in the manner specified in subsection G of this section, which Brian, by the way, was in full compliance with, from any place of purchase to his residence, place of business, between his dwelling, place of business, or between one place of business or a residence or another when moving. There's the exemption. That's what Brian was within. It seems pretty straightforward.
There's the exemptions, ladies and gentlemen. He was moving. He broke no laws. He was following the law. When we come back, we're going to find out what happened in court, and your blood will boil. We will be right back on the Armed American Radio Network.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-412-7799. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-412-7799. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-412-7799. That's 1-866-412-7799.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com.
Whether you're enjoying a day at the range or out in the field on the hunt of a lifetime, you need the Allegiance On Duty TRP Trauma Readiness Pack. The TRP is much more than a traditional first aid kit and contains everything you need in an emergency to save a life. Airtight, sterile, and waterproof, the TRP is a must-have for every shooter's bag, backpack, ATV, boat, or home. For your TRP emergency pack, visit ExtremeShockUSA.net. That's ExtremeShockUSA.net.
My name is Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock. What I'm about to tell you is true. My social security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, we give you a $1 million guarantee that your identity will not be stolen.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens. And if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-607-8961 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-607-8961. That's 1-800-607-8961. Again, 1-800-607-8961.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher, and you're listening to Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, redefining weekend talk radio.
I love that. Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. And Mike Gallagher, thank you very much. Got an email. Let's get Brian out of jail, restore his rights, return his guns, and then, since there is an empty jail bed, fill it with the judge. That's from Paul in Oregon. Paul, wait till you hear this segment. Evan Knappen, Brian's attorney. Welcome back to the program, my friend.
Thanks. Yeah,
okay.
This is really great that we are able to go through this thoroughly, because it really needs to be done, and I'm glad that your listeners are sticking with us to hear the whole story.
We are going to hear the whole story, not just in this segment, but for another four segments, and it's vital. So, folks, bear with us as we go through this. And
yeah, because there's some pretty shocking things coming next.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Well, let's get to them. Let's get to
them. All right,
so
here you go. So now we you see what the exemption is
right
on point. Now, there's been talk in media and such from some of these articles claiming, laughable, that, you know, evidence wasn't shown that he was moving, or that this was somehow only raised on closing argument, like it's some afterthought. I mean, let me just make it crystal clear here that there were three witnesses, including the arresting officer, who said that he believed that Brian was moving, and that he said that Brian told him that he was moving. And Susan Aiken testified that Brian was moving, and Brian's roommate testified that he was moving.
The car testified he was moving. Let's get real here. The car had moving things in it.
He was moving, yeah, with example. There's no dispute. Well, you can have a dispute. There's just overwhelming evidence. Let me put it that way. He was moving.
Yeah, okay? The boxes of dishes and everything in the car are overwhelming evidence.
Yeah, all this stuff showing.
Unbelievable.
He's moving. And then what's it say in the exemptions? Hey, when you're moving, you can have your gun cased and loaded. That's the subsection G. Okay, now look, the prosecution has every right to take a different view. That's fine. I think their view is flawed. They have a right to say, we don't think he was within what the intent of the moving was. Whatever the theory may be, that's fine. Pursue it. The problem is that the jury should be the one who determines the facts.
Now we're getting to the crux
right.
And of the U.S. legal system.
Right, and now since the jury has to determine the facts. And, you know, you always, there's, I'm sure that many of your listeners may be fans of the fully informed jury, movement and such, to have juries be able to really take on this strong function. And, of course, what is the argument that you're always hearing on the other side against that is, oh, no, no, the juries decide the facts and the judge decides the law. You can't let juries start deciding law. Okay, well, in Brian Aiken case, the jury wasn't even allowed to decide the facts, no less the law. Because in this case, the exemptions were never charged to the jury, even though we, as his counsel, filed a notice of defenses in advance raising the 2C39-6 exemptions that we just read. We filed a pretrial motion arguing to try to get it knocked out on motion even before trial, thinking that, you know, a reasonable judge would just say, hey, this is ridiculous, it should go, and look at these exemptions he's within anyway. But no, he took a technical view and said, no, no, exemptions are defenses, you have to, you know, prove them at trial. Okay, okay. You know, we took the shot there. So what happens at trial? Well, it's presented, witnesses are presented, etc., and the exemptions over our objections were never read to the jury. And this is very vital because even for anyone who carries, it might have a time when they might have to rely even on self-defense. I mean, we talk a lot, right, about self-defense. Well, that is a defense. It's also known as really justification for use of force. That's a defense. And defenses mean that the initial burden is on the defendant to make the showing.
Okay, now let's make this very clear here. When we're talking about the exemptions, the moving exemption is what we're talking about to simple brains like mine. There is a moving exemption in New Jersey. He falls under that moving exemption, and the jury is never told by the judge that there is a moving exemption in New Jersey. That's they, correct. In fact, asked three times.
Let me go right from there, not just tell you that they asked.
Read their quotes.
I want you to hear what the jury asked. And here is...
Okay, Evan, hold one second. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners nationwide, from the West Palm Beaches of Florida to the crab fishing vessels of Alaska, get a bowl because you're going to need it to put the hair you pull out of your head into when you hear this. Evan, go ahead.
Here's the jury request. This is their third request, by the way, to the judge. Why did you make us aware at the start of the trial that the law allows a person to carry a weapon if the person is moving or going to a shooting range, and during the trial both the defense and the prosecution presented testimony as to whether or not the defendant was in the process of moving, and then in your charge to us to deliberate, we are not permitted to take into consideration whether or not we believe the defendant was moving. That's the jury's note to the judge.
And what happened?
Well, the judge had the following to say. As I've already told you, based on all the evidence in the case, I have ruled as a matter of law that the defendant is not entitled to have you consider whether he is entitled to an exemption from the permit requirement based on his argument that he was moving. That is a legal determination which is for me to make. I decide what charges go to the jury. I decide what defenses go to the jury, and I make those for purely legal reasons. The issue of whether the defendant was moving and therefore entitled to an exemption from the permit requirement is not before you. That's what the judge told the jury.
Now, folks,
this is crazy.
Well,
right?
It's the only way to respond to this is laughter and anger.
Yeah, I know, because it's not funny. But
there's nothing funny about this.
It because you go, what, you know, WTF on this, right?
Okay,
you
now.
Now think about this. The judge is saying that this is a legal determination. It's a fact determination. He's making a fact determination. He's determining that for some reason, I don't know how he could make this determination given all the facts presented, but he's making a fact determination there and not letting the jury make the fact. Give the jury the law and let them say, oh, no, he wasn't within it. He wasn't moving. And if Brian had been convicted when a jury got the law, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, we have a right.
Now, of course,
we have a constitutional right, let's make this clear, to have a trial by judge in the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, what you've just heard, we're going to talk about and we're going to continue to talk about in tremendous detail, so please stick around. But what we've just heard, to sum this up, is a young man who has quite honestly been railroaded by the People's Republic of New Jersey. As such, because the jury was unable to hear the exemptions, as his attorney Evan Knappen just told you and read to you, he was convicted. And he was convicted and has been sentenced to 7 years in a New Jersey state penitentiary where he resides right now. And we're going to do everything we can in conjunction with the NRA and grassroots groups across the country to free Brian Aitken. And when we come back, we will give you more information on how to do that. We'll talk to Evan about how to do that. And we'll get some more details pending on the appeal and under what grounds they're going to appeal and how comfortable they are going forward with the expected results of the appeal. I'm Mark Walters. You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.
Hi, I am Gloria Ross. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I ask that you minister to the hearts of those listening today. Reach your hand way down into their soul and pick them up from their desperate state. Minister to their needs, afflictions, and raise their spirits up in Jesus' name. P-R-A-Y, powerful results are yours when you pray. Visit me at GloriaRoss.com.
Hello, this is Steve Down, author of Financially Fit for Life. Several years ago, following a business failure, I found myself in more than $1 million in personal debt. The very thought of bankruptcy put me into despair. But then I realized that if I had the ability to get $1 million in debt, that same ability could get me out of debt. I then put together a plan to pay off my debt within 5 years without filing bankruptcy. I made an amazing discovery. The plan that would pay off my debt in 5 years was the same plan that could retire me in 5 years. But you don't have to take my word for it, because I'm willing to send you my free CD that has proven to thousands how they could do the same, debt-free and financially free, all within 5 years. I know you too can do the same. Because it's free, you have nothing to lose but your debt, and you have a lifetime of financial health and wealth to gain. Call now for your free CD at 888-7-WAKE-UP. That's 888-7-WAKE-UP. 888-792-5387.